As I look back on the first 5 years of City Light Church, the passage of Scripture that comes to mind is Psalm 103, verse 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Amazingly, the Lord, the creator of the universe, is blessed when we remember his benefits to us. Now, this concept makes perfect sense to me now that I'm a father. This summer, my wife and I, we took our kids to Sesame Place, and my son, for the month following, could not stop recounting the benefits of it. Okay, my three-year-old Soren, who is normally very cautious, who knew, loves roller coasters. And the best part of the whole thing was that for the next month, he kept saying, "Daddy, thank you." He's 3 years old. "Daddy, thank you." He knows what he's doing. "Daddy, thank you for taking me to Sesame Place. Daddy, thank you for taking me to Sesame Place." Now, Andrea and I were so blessed by his enjoyment of our benefit to him that we just shelled out the cash and went again. Like, it was incredible. And in a somewhat similar way, the Lord is blessed when we remember his benefits to us. And the first 5 years of City Light Church have certainly been saturated with the Lord's benefits. And if you know anything about how City Light got started, you know it is literally all the Lord's benefits. In the summer of 2011, Pete and Jackie Horning and Andrea and I moved from Penn State to Philadelphia with the audacious dream of planting a church that would make disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. We were going to plant a worshiping community on mission for the glory of God. And that audacious dream began as a tiny Bible study in our one-bedroom apartment in Roxborough. At the very first Bible study, there were 12 people, and I was 26 years old, significantly older than the average age of the attenders. Okay, so we had at the first Bible study 12 adults, zero children, and I think everybody but Scott Alexander, who was there, had graduated from Penn State a month before and was in debt. So I've been told this is not the ideal way to start a church. But our weaknesses were an opportunity for us to enjoy the Lord's benefits. And over the last 5 years, in the midst of our weakness, it's the Lord who has poured out benefit after benefit. We've seen his benefit in going from, we really started as one little city group, and we've seen the benefit now of multiplying to 25 city groups between our two congregations. We've had the Lord's benefit in launching a mercy and justice ministry that does justice, seeks mercy for the poor and the marginalized in our church and in our city. We've had the Lord's benefit to send out 3 full-time missionaries overseas. We've had the Lord's benefit of establishing a residency program to train pastors and a cohort to train new city group leaders so that more people get to experience Christ-centered community to the glory of God. We've had the benefit of seeing countless college and professional students who normally would live in the world of isolation be involved in deep, life-giving communities. The Lord's benefits. We've had the benefit of growing from a Bible study with no children to now between our two congregations on an average Sunday, City Light Kids serves some 60 children every week by praying for them and shaping them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe most stunningly in that list in the last 5 years, the Lord has given us the benefit of baptizing 100 people. But I think, yeah. And some of you took a note. It's like the Anglo amen. You're like, yeah, 100, awesome. But, you know, the truth is, I think in a lot of ways, the greatest benefits that we've experienced are the things that we can't count. Things like the stories that we've heard from Walter and Hannah. Things like last Sunday, some of you were here when Yulia gave a prophetic word that she believed that the Lord was just laying on her heart that there was someone here in our congregation who is on the fence about following Jesus. So I came up, I shared that word. Right after the service was over, this young woman comes up to me in tears. She said, I was totally on the fence about whether I wanted to follow Jesus or not. I heard that word and I just thought, that's it. I'm in. I'm going to follow Jesus and give my life to him. And it's just the Lord's benefits to us. I mean, what, City Light, when I look at you, I see the Lord's benefits. You are truly an attractively different community. A community that is different because you're radically committed to radically obeying Jesus Christ in all things. But you're attractive because you live lives of sacrificial love toward your neighbors. My friends, I have the opportunity to travel around and get to talk with a lot of pastors. There is a special work of God going on here at City Light Church and in the churches of Philadelphia. And it is good and right that we look back and bless the Lord for all his benefits. And that's part of what today is all about, looking back, not for self-congratulations. There's no place for self-congratulation when grace is the only thing you can point to. Today is a day to look back and to bless the Lord for all his benefits. Now, one of the reasons it's so important to bless the Lord for his past benefits is because that's one primary way to solidify our faith in his future faithfulness. When we remember the Lord's past blessings, it solidifies our faith in his future faithfulness. Because the truth is, City Light, our gospel work here in Philadelphia has only just begun. And I believe our greatest days are ahead as we keep dreaming gospel dreams. And that's what we're doing. We're dreaming. We're dreaming of, as we look to the next 5 years, a city and surrounding suburbs just dotted with city groups, worshiping communities on mission. We're dreaming of, for the very first time, launching a youth group that will make disciples of our growing children and the youth of our neighborhoods. We're dreaming of our mercy and justice ministry growing to have lasting and very deep impact upon the poor and the marginalized here in our city. We're dreaming of permanent international missions partners where we can just keep sending teams as a blessing to them. We're dreaming of a church that is growing in depth in our love for God's word, our devotion to it, our submission under it. We're dreaming of a church expanding in breadth to reflect the diversity of the neighborhoods around us and Jesus' future kingdom. We're dreaming of planting more City Light congregations that will become churches that make disciples of Jesus to the glory of God in and around Philadelphia. And since that's one of our ultimate dreams, I thought today would be a great day for me to introduce you to City Light's newest church planting resident. In the month of September, we as a church have had the privilege of hiring Andy Resch as our newest church planting congregational pastor resident. And over the next 2 years, most of you know Andy and Mindy because they've been deeply involved in the life of our church for well over a year, but over the next 2 years, Andy is going to serve with the church full-time, learning gospel ministry, leading gospel ministry, and being assessed by our community to discern. It's the Lord raising him up and he and Mindy together to plant the next City Light congregation. And so I'm exceptionally excited for this step in our future. And I've asked Andy and Mindy to come up and for Andy to share a bit about what's exciting him about the journey ahead. So you guys, come on up.
As Matt said, my name is Andy. This is my wife, Mindy. We also have a little girl, Lucy, who's downstairs right now. And we're just really excited to be up here this morning. That's probably the understatement of the decade when I say I'm excited for this. A quick background on our story and why I'm so excited for this is Mindy and I were married in 2010, and we just felt this desire to make our marriage count for something more than ourselves and our happiness. And as we were praying and thinking through and, you know, just talking about what that might be, we had some friends that were planning a church in Tennessee. So we were married, like 3 months. And we left, we were in North Carolina at this time, left and went to Tennessee, you know, packed up a truck and just went for it. And over that time, part of the reason we went is I was feeling this really undefined kind of call to do something ministry related. I didn't know what that meant, had absolutely no idea that it would bring me to Philly or anything like that. But to make a long story kind of short, I think about it as if you've ever been to the optometrist and they put those, you sit behind that big machine and they are like one or two, right? You know, and they do that over and over until the image of the E on the board becomes clearer, right? And you can read that last line. I feel like that's what God really did in our life. Through just different circumstances, God slowly started to put this call in our lives where, okay, I think maybe pastoring and preaching is our call. And then what if we church planted and we led a church plant one day? And then finally, God kind of, you know, the last A or B, one or two, that clicked into place was, we're from Pennsylvania originally. We were like, let's go back home. Philadelphia just became overwhelmingly important to us, and we started to develop a love for this city before we even got here. So we decided, you know what, let's put some feet to this, and we're going to move to Philly, and we're going to call a bunch of churches, and we're going to see what churches are out there that are also excited about church planting, and here we are. City Light is one of those churches, in case this is one of your first times or you haven't caught that bug yet, that we are excited about church planting here. And we just came on as members and here to live in the city and get jobs and, you know, do our thing and minister as we could. And along the way, this awesome opportunity for this residency became available. So what that looks like for us, Matt gave you a little bit of he gave you the big picture. Some of the details of that are I'm preaching biweekly at the office to a camera to be critiqued, preparing a sermon during those weeks. I'm taking classes at Westminster. I'm shadowing Matt and the other elders as they counsel. So you might see me if you're around quite a bit. Just learning all the ins and outs of what it means to be a pastor and a church planner. Learning the things I didn't know. That's a big one too. Yeah, that's where we are today, and why we're excited about this is I was a math teacher before this, so I have to put some numbers in here. There are about 6 million people in the greater Philadelphia metro area, and I got on some census data and, you know, had fun doing this because, like I said, I'm a math guy, and I found that about more than 5 million of those 6 million don't know Jesus, and that's a pretty conservative estimate based off of census data. And then I looked at churches, and there's one evangelical church for every 11,000 people in this greater metro area. So I just, like, Walter's my boy, and seeing him up here this morning, like, how many Walters are out there that God has huge plans for? Like, I see that he has for Walter, that they're just waiting for someone to come bring the gospel. And God's going to reach them no matter what, but why not us? Right? Why not us? So I wanted to end just with Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, and this is kind of our prayer as we go forward. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So yeah, we have a lot ahead of us to be excited about, but God's going to build it and God's going to do it, and we're believing that.
And it's truly a miracle that I love and trust someone as tall and bearded as Andy. So, I think the question before us is, we both look back and look to the future that we're dreaming about, is how in the world are we going to do it? Where in the world are we going to get the strength to remain faithful to our mission, to make disciples of Jesus to the glory of God against all odds that are against us? How are we going to do it? And to answer that question, I want us to look at this passage of scripture that Crystal just read in Isaiah chapter 40. You can look at your Bible, or the verses will be behind me. Isaiah 40 is written specifically to encourage God's people to remain faithful as they look into an uncertain future. And the big idea of the passage comes right in verse 31. How will we remain faithful? How will we have the strength to remain faithful to God and his mission? But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. How are we going to do this? The big idea is this: depend on the Lord for the strength to remain faithful. You see, our first and our most important strategy for making disciples of Jesus to the glory of God and planting new churches in and around Philadelphia, our one strategy is dependence. We will depend on the Lord for the strength to remain faithful. Now, why is dependence on the Lord our first and foremost strategy as we look to the future? Well, Isaiah gives us really two reasons why. First, because the Lord is great. We depend on the Lord for strength to remain faithful because the Lord is great. He is great in his strength. And secondly, because he is gracious. He's gracious to share his strength with us. So let's begin with the first reason why our strategy as we look to the future is nothing more flashy than dependence. First, it's because he is great. Verse 28. Isaiah gives us sort of four snapshots of the Lord's greatness that we can depend on. He writes, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" And then the first, he says, "The Lord is the everlasting God." The first mark of the Lord's greatness that we depend on is that he is eternal. We depend on the Lord because he's never depended on anyone. There never was a time he wasn't, never will be a time he isn't. He is the eternal present, and we can depend on him in unchanging seasons because he, well, we depend on him in changing seasons because he never changes. We depend on the Lord because he depends on no one. I mean, just think for a moment about all the things and people you've depended on just to get here today. You woke up to an alarm clock coming from a phone that you didn't invent. Okay? You drank water that you didn't filter. You ate food you probably didn't farm unless you're a real hipster. You probably got into a car that you didn't manufacture. It was powered by gas that you probably didn't siphon. You drove on roads that you didn't pave. A parking lot you didn't paint, and you're sitting in a chair you didn't build, breathing air you didn't create. To get here today, you have literally probably depended upon thousands of people, and the Lord forever has never depended on anyone. We depend on the Lord for strength to remain faithful because he is the great eternal one. Now, Isaiah goes on. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. We depend on the Lord because he is the great creator. As we walk into the future, we will experience circumstances and seasons that we can't even foresee as a church. And the strength to remain faithful in the highs and in the lows comes from depending on the Lord who created every season and circumstance we go through. You see, the secret to remaining faithful in the midst of all seasons is depending on the Lord who has created all of them. Then thirdly, we see that the Lord does not faint or grow weary. He is great because he is the God who is untiring. On Friday night, I officiated a wedding for a couple at City Light, and I got goaded into breakdancing, which is a throwback to my gymnastics days. And then yesterday, I preached at the fall retreat for the Christian Medical Dental Association. I got goaded into playing basketball, which you can imagine I'm great at. and I got to tell you, today, every single part of me hurts. And it is stunning to think that the Lord has never once put his hands on his knees to catch his breath. The Lord has never rubbed his eyes or taken a nap. And that means that as we have our lives wrung out for Jesus Christ, as we pour ourselves out as disciples seeking to make disciples for the glory of God, the secret to not growing weary is dependence on the Lord who is never wearied. He is untiring. And then finally we read that the Lord's understanding is unsearchable. That means that no matter what is ahead, City Light Church, in the midst of the greatest peaks and the lowest valleys, we can trust that even if we don't understand what the Lord is doing, that he's probably doing about 10 million things for his glory and our good that we don't see, but we trust because he's unsearchable in his understanding. We will have the strength to remain faithful to the Lord and to his mission as we move into the next 5 years by depending on the Lord who is great. Now, depending on the Lord who is great, really knowing that the Lord is great is actually not enough for dependence. Because greatness doesn't actually make someone dependent. It's not enough. We have to also know not just that the Lord is great, but that he's gracious to share his strength with us. I learned this lesson when I was in first grade. Those of you that were born in the 80s probably know that in the 90s we loved this phenomenon called rollerblading. And I loved to rollerblade when I was a kid. So when I was in first grade, on Saturday mornings, my older brother, 7 years older than me, would babysit me, and I would rollerblade because he didn't really like me very much. So he's like, just go rollerblading. So I'd go down to my school, and I'd rollerblade, and I just loved it. I would do it for hours. Like, looking back, I was like, Mom, Dad, interesting decision, letting me just do my thing. Well, one day I get to the schoolyard, and there are some bullies there. They were second graders, okay, bullies. And they told me I wasn't allowed to rollerblade on school campus. I'm not making this up. And I was so distraught that I rollerbladed home just weeping. Now, of course, my brother is 7 years older than me. He is great in his strength. But I'm weeping and crying because I go, he's not good and gracious to share his strength with me. Yeah. So I go home and I'm crying, and my brother, like for the first time in his life, was moved with compassion. By the way, me and my brother are very close now. He's moved with compassion. He sees me crying, and he says to me, get your rollerblades, we're going back to the school. get my rollerblades. All right, here we go. So we go back to the school, and I kid you not, my brother walks onto the schoolyard, and he tells these bullies, my brother is going to rollerblade wherever he wants now. Man, I was like floating around the schoolyard. You know what I'm saying? It was like, because I realized my brother, who is great in his strength. You know, when you're a kid, 7 years might as well be an infinite amount of time. He was so much bigger and stronger than he is. And then I realized he's gracious to share his strength with me. I'm going to rollerblade like there's no tomorrow. And in the same, actually, in an infinitely more amazing way. We are not going to rollerblade into the future here, but the Lord, who is infinitely greater in his strength than my brother, is also infinitely gracious in his promise to share his strength with us. And that's why we can depend on him. And that's what we learn in verse 29. Isaiah says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. We depend on the Lord because he is great in his strength and gracious to share his strength with us. And we know this ultimately because of the gospel. The gospel is the most beautiful display of the Lord sharing his strength with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, not counting equality with God a thing to be grasped, took on flesh, was born among us in the likeness of a mere man. And he lived the life we should have lived, a perfect, sinless life. And he went to the cross to die for our sins in our place, to take our death penalty, that all who hope in him will not perish eternally, but have eternal life. And God raised him from the grave. And the proof that the Lord is great and will share his gracious strength with us is none other than the cross and resurrection of Jesus. That is why we depend on the Lord as our first strategy, as our only strategy, as we look to remain faithful to God and his mission over the next 5 years. So what do we do? What does dependence on the Lord who is great and gracious actually look like? Verses 30 and 31. Even youths, yes, even those who, as Walter said in the early days, had tight jeans and no Tim shoots, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. What do we do in response to the Lord's profound dependability? As we move into the next 5 years, we wait on him. We wait on him. Now, waiting on the Lord is not the same as killing time. Waiting on the Lord is not killing time. It's prayer-saturated, faith-filled action. In the Bible, waiting on the Lord is not killing time. It's prayer-saturated, faith-filled action. And so here's my closing question for you. As you are part of City Light moving into the next 5 years, what prayer-saturated, faith-filled action is God calling you to? You can think about this question in a few categories. For some of you, it may be under maybe the heading of connect. For some of you, as you move with City Light into the next 5 years, it's a time to connect. Most importantly, to connect with God through Jesus Christ. Some of you, you're here this morning, maybe you've been religious your whole life, or you've done irreligious good works, and you're looking to what you've done in order to be acceptable before God, which is impossible. And today is the day to look away from what you can do and trust in the finished work of what Jesus has done on the cross. And the prayer-saturated, faith-filled action is saying to Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner deserving of eternal death, but you took my death penalty. Would you forgive me of my sin and lead me a whole life long? If that's you, please just let us know on your Connect card. that that's what's happening today. And there are folks in the back, they'd love to pray with you. Maybe for you, it's connecting. You've been sort of observing the City Light community, but you now it's time to connect, to commit to these Sunday gatherings, to commit to a city group, to get into a discipleship group where you can go deep in your love for Jesus and others. Connect. Maybe for some of you, it's becoming a covenant member of City Light Church. Our next class is on October 22nd. It's time to connect. Maybe for some of you, it's not connect. Maybe now is the time to serve and support. Maybe now's the time to use your gifts to build up others here at City Light. So you want to, now may be a time to serve, to jump on a Sunday team. You can let us know about that on the Connect card. Maybe you want to be part of the Mercy Justice team. Maybe you're like, I want to be part of the worship team or be part of the communications team. Now is the time where you say, you know what? I want to serve. I've been connected. I want to serve. Maybe it's support. You know, the great reformer Martin Luther once said that the last thing to be converted to faith in Jesus in a person's life is their wallet. And you know, we don't talk about money much at City Light. That's intentional. But interestingly, Jesus talked about money a ton and said that where our money is, our heart is also. Maybe as we move into the next 5 years, prayer-saturated, faith-filled action means regular generosity to the work of the gospel through City Light. Maybe it's not connection and serving. Maybe now is a time for leading for you. Maybe now is a time for you to lead a discipleship group. By the way, discipleship is just doing intentional spiritual good to someone else so that you'll both become more like Christ. You don't need to be a like superstar Christian to do it. You need a Bible and a person. You get together regularly, read the scripture, ask each other questions about how it applies, and pray for one another. Maybe now's the time you're like, I want to get trained to be a city group leader. You can let us know about all this on the Connect card. Maybe you're saying, now's the time I'd love to transition from serving on a Sunday team to maybe leading one so that I can be an encouragement to others. How is the Lord calling you to prayer-saturated, faith-filled action as we look to the future? Now, as we respond, we're going to respond in two ways. We're going to bless the Lord through song, and we are going to remember his benefits through communion. We're going to bless the Lord, and for these next three songs, we're going to stand, we're going to praise him for all of who he is and what he's done. And we're going to remember his ultimate benefit to us, his life, death, and resurrection to reconcile us to God the Father. We're going to remember that by any time during the next three songs. You can come to the tables in front or in back. Tear off a piece of bread. It's a symbol of Jesus' body broken for you. Dip it in the cup, symbol of his blood shed for you. Take it and eat it and remember the ultimate benefit of the gospel. And if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to Jesus first before the communion table, to give your sin to him and ask for his forgiveness that he might lead you a whole life long. And if you're not sure about how to do that or you want prayer for any other reason in your life, you can go to the back. There'll be folks under the prayer signs. They'd love to pray with you. I'll pray and we will bless the Lord in song and remember his benefits through communion. Lord, we bless you and praise you because all that we are and all that we have is always and only the result of your grace. There is not one thing that we have that we've not been given. And so today we refuse self-glory and self-congratulations because it is so much more satisfying to bless you and forget not all your benefits. Would you strengthen us with your mighty power as we look to the future? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.